Last minute substitution. Jeff Blair's out. Joey Vendetta's in. This is the Jeff Blair Show with guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Apparently, the Tim Hortons is out of hot water here in the building. Crisis situation. People snapping for Java. Coffee. Caffeine. Vendetta in for Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. So, JP Benoit tweets in at Radio Vendetta, not good enough to go deep in the playoffs. Game six of easy final isn't deep with Price hurt for the last series. No, no question. I said this year, not last year. Clean your ears out. The guy is here, 16. Talking about what the Leafs need to do with all their UFAs. Free up cap space by moving Gardner and Lupo. Free up $9 million. Sign Franzen for $6 million, Santo and Winnick $2 million to $3 million each, and Holzer and Smith cheap. Listen, you might be able to get Franzen cheaper than $6 million. The Grizzlies, who would have thought that in the same night in the National Hockey League and the Association, not the band from the 60s, the National Basketball Association. So you got the Florida Panthers in a 20-round shootout. Nick Bjugstad scores the winner chicken dinner in the 20th round. And then the Memphis Grizz, triple overtime. Triple overtime last night. Outlasting the Spurs after blowing a 23-point lead. Mark Gasol, 26 points, including a banked-in three-pointer as regulation expires. And here we have some big audio dynamite from last night's game.
Grizzlies with it again, looking to extend to a two-possession lead. Conley picked up by Bellinelli. Conley looking for Randolph, gives it to him, right block against Diaw. He's made the move several times. Randolph, jab step, a lean back, 15-footer this time. Got it again! Zach Randolph trying to put the Grizzlies on his broad shoulders and take him out of San Antonio with a win.
Wow. Triple OT. Wasn't quite as exciting last night at the Air Canada Center, but, I mean, I won't say it was in doubt. It was never in doubt. Matt Devlin, one of the most Natalie sartorially splendiferous gentlemen that I know, was courtside calling the game. And Matt, before we talk about the actual game, you had Drake on the air with you, but he came on after he did the national TV broadcast, if I'm not mistaken. And that, to me, that's, you know,
I'm good with it, Joey. He goes down. He does ESPN. We've had him before, obviously.
Of course, you have.
And no, I'm good. I'm all good. In fact, I didn't even know he was going to join us. All of a sudden, they said, "Hey, you know, Drake's coming on." I said, "That's awesome." Yeah, we've told him before. Anytime you want to jump on, jump on. And you know what? We had a lot of fun with him, and he is a genuine fan. And he absolutely loves the Raptors. And
he loves the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Cavaliers, and he loves about six or seven teams. He's a Raptor guy. I know he is. I know. He's just boys with so many guys in the NBA, right?
Well, it's just like you.
Wow.
Look, I've seen you in L.A. operate. I've seen you operate in L.A. I mean, you know everybody in town.
Well, when you're not married, you have no kids, no ex-wives. You got a lot of time on your hands, Debbie. Like, it is what it is. People are like, man, you're kind of all over the place. You know what? I don't have any. I've never been married, never lived with anybody.
Who do you not know in L.A.?
Who do I not know in L.A.?
Exactly. See, it's
wow, it's a tough question.
That is a tough question. That's really what I'm saying. It's like, you know.
Drake downplayed Drake Night, which is cool. Cause it's funny because last year, the first night of Drake Night last year, I think the team was just a little bit under 500, didn't really have, you know, the identity that they developed later on in the season and, of course, as they rolled into the playoffs. And so Drake Night last year was kind of a marketing tactic for the team, right? Let's get some people in here. Let's create a vibe. Let's create a buzz. And then we know what happened with the actual team. And then last night, you know, Drake says, tonight's my name's attached to it, but it's really not about me at all. And I've got to say, I was at the game last night. I got to agree with him. And, you know, they, obviously showing his images, it goes without saying that, you know, the Raptor was dressed with the backwards cap, like acting like a rapper. He was wearing the OVO jacket and all that. But it was almost like they don't need it, right? And not to say that they don't like it. The players love the guy. We know that with the Brooklyn had to be up a little bit more for that game. We know the Raptors were up for that game. But it's funny, but it's so cool to see this team has come so far in such a short period of time. And I think last night was a good benchmark.
Well, look at they have. And from a fan base standpoint, I've said it so many times, you know, the fan base is outstanding. And, you know, that certainly can be traced back to even this past Monday against Orlando, when the Raptors had a sellout. And then last night they have a standing room only crowd, and they're sixth in the NBA in attendance. And, you know, having Drake there last night, while it's you know, it is Drake night, and as he said, hey, it's not about him. You know, it is great having him around, and you could just see the energy in the building and the people that obviously absolutely love being associated with that, and also being associated with the Raptors and the way that they're playing, and they're 20-6. And it's just, you know, the connection between Drake and the Raptors is great. And, you know, the game ends and half the Brooklyn team's walking by him and, you know, talking to him as well. And as Amir Johnson said to me, you know, when all this was, you know, transpiring and he was named global ambassador, you know, we were talking about, you know, Drake and his involvement. And he said, look, he said, it's going to have an impact. He said, it's going to have an impact. People around the league, the young players in the league are going to talk about it very much like, you know, Brooklyn with Jay-Z and that Jay-Z effect. And while Jay-Z's ownership, he doesn't own it anymore because he's now an agent. You can't, you know, have that. And he had a small percentage, less than 1% of the team. But what was great about it was that they allowed him to put his touch on it. And by doing that, they have a, you know, unbelievable arena that has a great feel to it, and people resonate with the uniforms and all that. And I think, you know, with Drake, you know, that's going on as well, that, you know, he does understand. He is a smart, you know, man, and he understands exactly what's going to resonate, you know, with, you know, the people. And so because of that, you know, I think last night's a great night. I really do. And it's a great night all the way around. And the way that they played basketball in the second half was certainly indicative of that.
And look, this team, Brooklyn, is nothing like the team last year.
No.
We know that they, you know, yeah. Look, Garnett was hurt. Lopez, who's perpetually hurt. I'd take Johnson on my team last any time. You know, Mason Plumlee's had a pretty good season.
Yeah, I like Plumlee.
You know, look,
you're exactly right. Two teams headed in opposite directions. They went all in, including the tax. $197 million was spent last year with Brooklyn. And while we've seen it in history where you can, quote-unquote, try to buy a championship, and the Florida Marlins back in the day certainly – You know, people, you know, would point to that. I don't know if there's a hockey analogy for that or a comparison, but it's
yes, the Toronto Maple Leafs pre-salary cap.
Yeah, well,
they didn't win, by the way. They just spent.
Well, there you go. So, and it's hard. I mean, I know Peter Angelos in baseball tried to do with the Baltimore going up against the Yankees. It's hard. It's not an easy thing to do, and you have to have a foundation, and then from with that foundation, that core, you got to build out. And, you know, that's something that, you know, the Toronto Raptors are doing right now. They're headed in the complete opposite direction of Brooklyn. And, you know, Kevin Garnett, you know, they're resting him quite a bit. He's 38 years of age. Darren Williams is owed a lot of money. Joe Johnson's owed a lot of money. And I think if they could start to get out of those contracts, they would. But, you know, what's the marketplace for Darren Williams? You know, what's the marketplace for Joe Johnson right now? It'll be interesting to see kind of how all that plays out, but definitely headed in different directions.
Hey, I'd take Joe Johnson in a Raptor uniform.
Would you? I don't know.
I would.
You? At the three?
Yeah, I'd take him in the three hole.
For $20-plus million?
Yeah, I mean, listen, money notwithstanding. Let's say you're definitely right when it comes to, you know, dollar allocation. Definitely an overpayment. They put themselves in a hole. Prokhorov spent his money, paid his tax, and now, you know what? The chickens are coming home to roost, and it looks good on him. And as a Raptor fan, you got to be real happy, because when you look at Patrick Patterson, I think was, you know, he basically said, I woke up on Wednesday morning, and all I could think about was this game, right? That game seven was definitely on my mind from the time I woke up this morning to even now. He said that yesterday. I'm definitely happy that we went out there and won the game. It was a bit of revenge in my eyes. And you know what I like the most about that comment? They didn't say anything before the game. They said it after.
Yeah. Well, it's been, is it ultimately revenge? No, because it's a regular season game, but you know, it's a point. And it's the point is that, look, at you did this to us during the playoffs and we feel like we owe you. And the next time we play you, we feel like you know, we owe you. And I think that's a great mentality to have, because you have to have that throughout the course of the regular season. And here they are, 7-3, Joey, without DeMar DeRozan. And things are going to start to get tough. Yes, you go to Detroit, you come home, you play New York. But then on the second day of a back-to-back, you're going to have Chicago. And then you head out west, and, you know, the winning record, you know, combined percentage-wise of the teams that you're going to play out there, you know, is right around 67, 68%. And so, you know, you want to build a cushion. You want to be 20-6. You have Washington on your heels. You head out on, you know, the World Junior Tour. And, you know, when you come back, it's going to be January 6th, January 7th. And so you have to take care of business while you can against, you know, the teams that are in front of you, especially without your all-star.
And you talk about going out west. Look, you're going to have to play Golden State. You said,
Clippers,
Chicago,
Portland.
Yeah, you got some teams. And this fan base, I think, really relishes the Raptors having litmus tests, right? And going to play the Clippers on the 27th, you know, Denver's not a good team, but like you said, Portland at 20-6, then you got to travel to Golden State. You're playing them at 21-13. You got to go to Phoenix. They're 13-14, and then you're back at home finally January the 8th when Charlotte heads to town, which I think some people are targeting for the return of DeMar DeRozan. I know it's a little bit far out, but no one's talking about missing DeMar DeRozan, which I think is pretty incredible and something that we should talk about. Would you ever have thought that this team would have the depth where you wouldn't, and I'm not saying they don't miss him because the guy's a fantastic basketball player, you know, arguably, you know, 1 and 1A with Kyle Lowry on this team, but I don't hear anybody, and I'm talking fan chatter. I'm talking, no one's saying, when's DeMar coming back? We need him back. It's amazing to have that luxury.
It is amazing. A couple of points. You know, first, what I would call the easy point would be you're going to need him against Chicago. You needed him against Cleveland. You're going to need him out on that West Coast trip. And the reason why is because against the better teams, against the elite competition, you're going to need somebody else that's going to draw a double that can help free up a Kyle or help free up, you know, somebody else. And he obviously attracts that. But I think as far as the Raptors' approach to not having DeMar, you know, it really starts with Dwayne. And Coach Casey, you know, has this saying, humble and hungry. And it truly resonates with this group. If you notice, whether they lose, you know, to Dallas or whether they lose to the Lakers, you know, he's not ranting and raving. It's the same message. And then all of a sudden they win like they did last night, and it's the same message. And the message is, hey, we got to get better on the glass. We need to, you know, have a rim protector. We need to, you know, have better rim protection. We need to, you know, get out and go a little bit. We need to move the ball. It's all the same message. And I think that because, you know, he's had that steady hand, I think that, you know, obviously gets carried over by the players. And then he's also of the mindset of, you know, next man up. You know, okay, you know, we don't have DeMar, but you're professional. We're all professionals. You know, we got to go out there and do a job, whether we have DeMar or don't have DeMar. And, of course, we would all like to have DeMar. So I just really think that he's done a masterful job, you know, through the first 26 games of the season.
I said it a couple times in the last few days. He's done a masterful job. The entire coaching staff has done a masterful job of managing minutes and having two units. It's three or four units because they mix and match so much. Yeah. You know, they have an incredible ability to put guys together at times during the game when they're needed, whether they're running a, you know, pick and roll, which they don't run as much, a screen and roll. Guys, they, you know, the rock and roll, whatever you want to call it. This team is just They're very hard to categorize, and I think they're very hard to play against because you can't pigeonhole them into playing any type of game. If there's any one weakness, offensive rebounds maybe be the weakness, but this team is very hard to pick apart because I don't think you can define them by one type of basketball.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly the case. You know, I think it was great to see Gravis Vasquez last night kind of get back on track because he had been scuffling, but Landry Fields is a prime example. You know, Landry Fields, you know, doesn't play and all of a sudden inserted into the starting lineup and is giving you quality minutes, 20, 25 minutes a night. He started the last five games. Now it allows Gravis to go back into his comfort zone, which is the bench, and work with the second unit. And he started to get it going again last night, which was great to see. So, you know, there's different ways. You have Patrick Patterson, the way he can shoot the three. You know, Terrence Ross and his athleticism. And, you know, Jonas Valanciunas at 22. You know, here he is, you know, with a double-double last night, his eighth of the season. Kyle had his eighth. And, you know, Jonas is still a maturing, growing, developing player. And so for him at 22 to be, you know, the man in the middle on a team that's leading the East, it says a lot about him, says a lot about his teammates. And you're right. And I think it starts, you know, look, Kyle has been, Joey, sensational. And he just has a feel for what is appropriate out on the court. When is the time to get it to Jonas? When is the time for himself to take a shot? When is the time, you know, to get Patrick going? So he's just got this sense and feel, and he's kind of been, you know, the conductor, and he's been, you know, outstanding.
Okay. The question I'm going to ask later in the show of listeners, I'm going to ask of you right now.
Yeah.
Are the Raptors the favorites to win the East? I know they have the best record. They're 20-6. I get that. Are they the favorites in your mind to win the East? Are they better than Chicago? Are they better than Cleveland? You know, Jabari Parker done for the season in Milwaukee. And again, not that they're a juggernaut, but you know, now they're out of the picture. Miami's a team that is brittle. They're not completely old, but they got a lot of mileage. Brooklyn, it is what it is. They might squeak into the playoffs. Boston, good luck. Have fun. Orlando, good luck. Cleveland and Chicago, in my mind, Atlanta's a surprise. Washington's a good team. They'll be buyers. But are the Raptors the team to beat in the East now?
Well, I'm going to say that there are five teams in the East. And, you know, you have Toronto, you have Cleveland, as we know, Chicago, Washington, and Atlanta. Those are the five. Atlanta's coming on strong. Atlanta's playing great defense. Look at what they did last night with Cleveland. And then also they shoot an abundance of threes. And so that's a great equalizer. And, you know, Washington, we have yet to see, and I haven't seen them, you know, live yet. I've watched them on TV, but I think they're a team to certainly contend with. And I think those are the five right now. And so are they the favorites? Well, they're 20-6, and there's still plenty of games left to be played. There's still this West Coast trip to be played. DeMar's out. DeMar needs to, you know, come back. And so I'm not going to go out front and say, oh, yeah, they're the team to beat. And they're, because I think that these five teams, any one of these five, could ultimately win the Eastern Conference during the course of the regular season. But do I believe that the Toronto Raptors are in that mix? Yes. Do I believe that they're a team that can get to the second round, you know, of the NBA playoffs? Absolutely. Health is always, you know, imperative. Well, guess what? They're now dealing, you know, the last nine games without DeMar DeRozan, and they're handling it well. But how do they handle Chicago on Monday on the second night of a back-to-back? You know, how are they going to handle Cleveland the next go-around? How are they going to handle Washington when we see them again? They're 2-0 against Atlanta, and let's see what happens there, you know, in late February when they see them again. So I'm not ready yet to anoint them, but I tell you what, they're certainly building a case, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And look, Atlanta handed it to Cleveland last night, beating them by 29 points. And if you look at the Raptors compared to the way some of these Eastern Conference teams play, and I won't say that they play the Western Conference in the NBA is superior, not the chasm isn't quite as great as it was last year. I think the chasm has been closed a little bit, and we heard Mark Cuban talking about how maybe they should mix some teams up and move some from the west to the east, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't think it's as much of an issue this year. Cleveland is the team that, in my mind, and we remember what happened when LeBron went to Miami. It didn't work right away. It took a minute. And LeBron has to be one of the most polite superstars in the history of sports, right? Because he doesn't want to step on anybody's toes, right? He wants to make the team. You know, I'm not the guy taking all the shots. He wants Dion Waiters going to get involved. Like, he wants to keep everybody happy. And I don't know that, you know, Kyrie Irving is mature enough, or, you know, they've got a lot of guys who want the ball, whether it's Sean Marion or you know, Dion Waiters, or, you know, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love. I think Cleveland is going to gel, and they're going to gel heavy in the second half of this season. I don't see how that doesn't happen.
Well, I think, look, they have the best player, okay? And now, you know, I think what they've been doing with playing Kyrie off of the ball and having LeBron handle the point very much like what he did in Miami with Dwayne Wade, I think is working. And, you know, everybody appears to be settling into their roles. You know, nights like last night, they happen along the way. And I'm not certain that they're not going to add some pieces as well along the way. So they're a strong team. Why? Because they have the best player in the world. And certainly they were impressive the last couple of times that the Raptors have played them. And I thought that early on this season, they weren't using Tristan Thompson. And I thought that was a detriment to the team. And now they're starting to find ways to use him. He's coming off of the bench, and he's a young, athletic big that I really like and has a huge upside. And, you know, now he's being incorporated into the game. And against the Raptors, he had some huge offensive rebounds late in that game. He had six in the fourth quarter alone. And so he, to me, is an integral part to what they do on the glass. I know Varejao is extremely athletic and active, but he's also at the stage of his career where he's not going to be able to give you 35 minutes every night, or 30 minutes for that matter. And so Tristan kind of takes that over. And you have Kevin Love learning how to operate, taking six less shots. He goes from 18, Joey, down to 12. And so that takes time. But, you know, clearly I think they figured it out despite the fact, you know, that they lost, you know, last night by that number.
And as we said, the Raptors have their work cut out for them heading into January, playing some good teams, but again, playing some patsies. Got to make hay while the sun shines. And appreciate you doing this as always. Matt Double _ Devlin on Twitter. Your time, I know, is very valuable. It's the holiday season. You're busy. You're in. You're out. Just keeping your wardrobe together has to be a challenge.
It's very difficult. In fact, you know, going out on, what are we leaving for, like a 10, 12-day trip? I mean, I think I'm going to have to travel with, like, I'm going to be like you. I'm going to have, like, five bags or something
So
like
hold
that.
On a second here. Let's five get the kids. Mindset. I want to give the listeners the inside, the Matt Devlin night before leaving for the extended road trip. What's the mix and match? How many ties? How many suits, blazers, shirts? You've got a lot of decisions to make.
A lot of decisions to make, and this is how I pack. And this is no joke. I go into my closet, and I just start grabbing stuff. And I literally will, okay, if I got five games, let's say I bring four suits, and then I don't even make decisions anymore. I just bring globs of stuff, and then once I get to the place, I'll make a decision.
Okay,
I don't even match anything up typically before I go. I just kind of go into the closet and just like grab, you know, all right, 10 ties, and I'll grab some shirts, and then I'll make a decision once I get there.
So
I'm impromptu. You know,
you're dancing on the precipice of fashion disaster.
I'm willing to go there, Joey. You know why? Because as you well know, when you travel all the time, it's like after a while, it's like, okay, I don't want to spend any time doing this. I'm just going to throw stuff in the bag and hopefully on the other side. Like we were just in New York. You know, I got to the other side, and guess what happened? I didn't have a belt. I didn't have a this. I didn't have a that. And so, you know, you make do. You make a couple of phone calls. I call my brother and say, hey, man, bring a belt to the game. I need one, you know?
Wait a second. Was your brother in New York?
Oh, yeah, he lives there.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're cheating. You've got in-city alternatives. Exactly. Do you ever have to buy anything on the road?
There's been a couple of times for sure. Yeah.
Matt, yeah. I hope you enjoy your Christmas and your New Year. Thanks for doing this.
Am I going to see you out in L.A.? You going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy.
I definitely will be there.
Knowing you, you'll be courtside.
No. I might be in court, but I won't be courtside. So.
All right, bud.
Thanks for doing this. Matt, _Devlin, Toronto Raptors, fine presentation on your television, and always a great guest. Always fun to have him on the show. I know he's on the radio a lot. The reason he is on the radio so much is because he's good at being on the radio and gives us some insight on his thoughts on whether the Raptors are the team to beat in the East. And looking for your insight later on the show, before we break at noon, we'll take your calls around 20 to 11. So start thinking about it. But again, you can always hit me on Twitter at Radio Vendetta. Are the Raptors the team to beat in the East? If you go down the Eastern Conference, Washington, Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, Milwaukee, as I said, lost Jabari Parker, Miami, who have a sub-500 record after giving Bosch all the dough, making him the man, not working out. Brooklyn, Raptors spanking him last night, 10-14. It's like the NFC South. Losing record, not very good. You'll still get in the playoffs. And that's where I think that there's a system that needs to be put in place. The problem with putting the system in place is that at some point, the competitive balance comes back, or you would think. And the system that I'm talking about is that you just take the records from both conferences and just line them up and the top 16 get in. Don't think it's ever going to happen, but it's really the only fair way to do it. Because, look, you know, the Pelicans are 12-12. So it's not like, you know, and they're at the cutoff point, right? They're at the Mendoza line. But the drop-off from the 7 to the 8 hole, I said 8 hole, get your mind out of the gutter, is 5 wins. San Antonio, believe it or not, is in 7th at 17-9. You got Pop resting his entire team. I just love when he does that. He just decides that his starters aren't going to play the entire game. Amazing. Vendetta in for Blair. Still to come on the program, Kevin Barker will discuss all these deals in Major League Baseball. Like, the winter meetings are over, but whoa. This Will Myers deal, man. San Diego is remaking themselves in a big way. They have a surplus of outfielders. But the deal includes the Washington Nationals, San Diego. So, Tampa dealing Will Myers to San Diego pending physicals. San Diego receives Ryan Hannigan, left-hander Jose Castillo, and right-hander Gerardo Reyes from the Rays. Heading to Tampa, Birch Smith, Jake Bowers, Rene Rivera from the Padres, outfielder Steven Souza. It's jumbled. It's like Parcheesi. And don't forget, the Padres picked up Matt Kemp from the Dodgers. So I like an outfield with Matt Kemp. You got to remember, Matt Kemp earlier in the year for the Dodgers, first half of the season, wasn't all that, but he tore it up. He was the best player for the Dodgers in the second half of the season. But the Dodgers completely remaking themselves this offseason. As busy as Alex Anthopoulos was with your Toronto Blue Jays. Maybe a little bit busier. Vendetta in for Blair. We will be back and we will take your calls and your tweets. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590 or *590 on your cell phone. Your Rogers cell phone. Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. The question is simple and we want your take. If you're the Leafs general manager, if you're running the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are in Carolina tonight, play the Hurricanes, Who's your number one priority unrestricted free agent? Or you can have more than one priority. How do you keep the players you need to keep based on their performance this year? Mike Santarelli, Dan Winnick, David Booth coming on now, coming back from preseason injury. Cody Franzen, arguably the best defenseman on the team. Corbinian Holzer finally found his game. A guy that last year when he got called up, it was touch and go. Whether he was even NHL worthy, NHL ready, whether he'd ever stick in the NHL. Looks like he is. Trevor Smith, another guy, doesn't get much ink, much talk, much heat, but playing incredibly well, trustworthy. You can put him out in the last minute of a game and not worry about it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. You're the Leafs GM. How do you figure this out? We'll discuss that next when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Hi, this is Gary Roberts, and you're listening to Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet Fan 590.
Minutes before 11 o'clock, still to come on the show, Stefan Quintal, SVP for the NHL, player safety. Kevin Barker, Sportsnet baseball maven, will also be on the program. Talk the plethora, the flurry of offseason activity in Major League Baseball, the latest of which has Will Myers going to San Diego. Think about this. They ranked last in the majors, 634 OPS, 535 runs scored. Myers is only 24 years old. Third round pick in 2009, first year player draft, KC. Now he's going to be patrolling the outfield. But he only played 87 games in 2014. So what? He's 24 years old. He'll bounce back. Your calls, the phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. If you're the Leafs GM, if you're running the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you go down in terms of cap space, the Leafs are up against it, as we know. They've got, Peter Holland's a great deal, $7.75 a year. They've got him next year. Then he's an RFA. He's not even a UFA. Right? You got $8 million tied up in Phil Kessel forever, for the foreseeable future, for the rest of time, till the world ends, till Skynet takes over. Joffrey Lupul, 5.25, UFA in 2018. David Clarkson, deal that people rip. 5.25. Tell you, he hits, though. And I don't know if you know this, the Leafs lead the league in hits, too. Not just goals. That's a weird combination. You lead the league in goals, and you lead the league in hits. At Radio Vendetta, you can hit me on Twitter as well. What would you do to alleviate the problem the Leafs are going to have signing these guys in the offseason? Mike Santarelli, $1.5 million for a one-year deal. Dan Winnick, $1.3 million, one-year deal. David Booth, $1.1 million on a one-year. Cody Franzen, $3.3 million on a one-year. Trevor Smith, another great deal, $550 million, but he's a UFA. Someone's going to pick him up. So what do you do? Edmund says, at Radio Vendetta, trade Franzen, Santarelli, sign Winnipeg. Get picks for Hunter to use. Leafs are still at best 6-8 in the East. Get picks for Hunter to use. Who's Hunter? Oh, Mark Hunter. That's right. I forgot about Mark Hunter. I still think it's all Dave Nonis. Yeah. Get picks for Hunter. He's good. And Hunter's good at using picks. The Leafs have so many people in the front office. Oh, my God. Like, how can you make a decision? Just like there's a million people in the, like, I can't, how big is the boardroom? How do you have a meeting? Hey, the boardroom's booked because we have 800 people in our front office. John and Caledon, who's your priority? Who's your number one priority for the Toronto Maple Leafs to sign this offseason or before as an unrestricted free agent?
I think it's got to be Winnick. I think that him on the penalty kill with Komarov, it's never looked better.
Yeah, well, Komarov's been out. We know that he has a concussion. We don't know when he's coming back. It's worse than everyone thought. But Dan Winnick has been a very solid contributor. He's a plus 11, 13 points in 29 games, has only one goal. But, I mean, fantastic offseason pickup. A guy that it was funny because they waited till the end to pick him up. He didn't sign right away. So Dan Winnick's a guy that is very grateful for what he has. You can tell. He appreciates playing here. Southern Ontario native. 416-870-0590. Phone lines are open. 1-888-666-0590. *590 on your cell phone. Who is the priority in the offseason for the Toronto Maple Leafs to sign or before? How do you handle it? They got a bunch of unrestricted free agents. Rocky in Markham. Rocky, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm great. It's 7 days before Christmas, Rocky. Have you bought your Christmas presents?
No, but hopefully I'll do it this weekend. That's my goal.
Where do you do your Christmas shopping? Do you do it at like Esso or do you do it at Max Milk?
I'll just do it whatever is convenient for me.
What's your budget?
My budget? My budget is probably like $200, $300.
How many presents do you have to buy?
Probably like three, four.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Do you kind of even it out?
You got to, right? You got to do what's best, right?
What about shoplifting? Are you ever involved in shoplifting?
Not in my life.
You've never shoplifted?
Never did.
I used to shoplift as a kid. My old man would smack me around. I deserved it, too.
Maybe when I was younger, probably one, a thing or two, definitely, you know?
Man, I had sticky hands when I was a kid.
Got caught.
And they got really, there was the stickiness went away though when the hands got near my pockets because things dropped into my pockets really easily.
That's what I call a sticky situation.
There you go. So who's your priority? Unrestricted free agent. Who do the Maple Leafs absolutely have to sign out of the six guys that I mentioned?
You gotta put your top priority is Cody Friend. He's probably your best defenseman. So far this season, he's one of the key reasons why the Leafs are having so much success. And if you let him go, I think there will be a team that's going to give him an offer he can't refuse. So if I were the Leafs, I would try to lock him up as soon as he can and try to free up some space to keep him because so far the Leafs are they are the hottest team in hockey right now. And the way they're beating their teams, they beat Detroit twice. They beat the Kings. They beat the Ducks the other day. So if they can keep this up and try to lock up their key players, man, they could be a playoff team for the long run. So,
and I think that's the key. And thanks for the call, Rocky. I think that is the key. When you say they could be a playoff team for the long run, they're not building this team to win the Stanley Cup this year. They want to make the playoffs. They want to progress. But then it's all about filling in those slots with cheaper players, and Trevor Smith is a great example of that. Peter Holland is a great example of that. These are guys that are costing this team under $1 million. You don't find guys to get quality minutes unless you're doing a great job in the front office. And I, tongue planted firmly in cheek, rag on the Leafs for having so many people in the front office, but that's where there is no cap. So you can spend as much as you want on scouting and front office and development, and you can hire spiritual advisors, you can hire psychiatrists, you can hire all the strength and conditioning that you want. You can hire anything you want outside of players, and there is no cap. So this team that's playing in Carolina tonight has the luxury of some great deals. But Cody Franzen, who is arguably the best defenseman on the team, if not the best, top two, he is going to get paid. I've said it before. Somebody's going to sign him for a large sum of money. Tonight's a trap game, by the way. Tonight is a trap game. Leafs at Hurricanes, call the bookie. Like you, I hope they win, but that's one of those games where they're on a roll, you go to Carolina, boring, kind of asleep, can't get up for the game. Are they going to lose tonight? I don't know. They could. They could very well lose. Ricky in Toronto. Ricky, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm fantastic. It's the holiday season. It's 7 days before Christmas. I haven't bought or shoplifted a thing yet.
I have, so I got one thing left, and that's my son's birthday present.
Wait, when's your son's birthday?
On Christmas.
Oh, I think my nephew's birthday's on Christmas, too. That sucks.
Yeah, he's getting to lose out on one gift anyway.
How old is your son?
He'll be 3.
Oh, so he has no clue that he's been ripped off yet?
No, not yet.
Do you give him separate presents for Christmas and his birthday? Say, like, this one's for your birthday, this one's for Christmas?
No, I try not to.
You just roll it all into one?
Just roll it all in one.
What do you get him? Do you get him one of those air fresheners that's shaped like a Christmas tree?
That's incredible.
No, what do you get the kid? What do you get the kid?
I'm getting him. He needs a new bike, so I got to teach him how to ride this year.
All right, you're a good dad. God bless you. Tell me, who's the most valuable player for the Toronto Maple Leafs to sign, and maybe not necessarily most valuable, but who do they absolutely have to sign based on his performance and going forward? Who do they need on this team?
Daniel Winnick. It's the style he has now. He's brought us to a better team now. We play in his style. That's forechecking and just skating our ass off every day.
I've been incredibly impressed with Dan Winnick's attitude, the way he plays the game. And Stefan Robidas is a guy who we quote, and he says you got to play the game the right way. Dan Winnick plays the game the right way. Dan Winnick is a guy that Randy Carlyle relies on in key situations and important minutes. And it's nice to see a guy that's from Toronto come here. And he didn't know where he was going to sign. I had him on the air in the summer when he signed. And he was, you know, he's honest, right? He's not one of these guys who's sitting around saying how important he is. He's like, man, I didn't really know where I was going to get a deal. They got a steal on Dan Winnick. $1.3 million? See, that's one of those ones where you and I don't know the scenario if Dan wouldn't have taken more than 1 year, but I would have made a bigger bet on Dan Winnick. Just knowing his history, he'd had the best season he'd had prior to signing with the Leafs, point-wise. Always played on good teams, Anaheim, San Jose. You know, a guy that, you know, he played in Phoenix before they became Arizona. And a guy that it's plain to see that you need guys like Dan Winnick on your team and Mike Santarelli. We're going to take one more call real quick. Keith in Bowmanville. Keith, we got about 30 seconds here. Who do you got to sign? What moves do you make? How do you deal with this?
Look, you got to sign Franz in because you need him on the back end. He's a puck-moving defenseman. You got to free up salary room. You know, Gardner, Reimer, Loophole frees up about 13 mil. That gives you the room to sign the Franz and the Santarellis, the Winnicks. And then you have to, in the offseason, find the Winnicks and Santarellis for next year. That's what today's NHL is all about.
Thanks for the call. And David Peaks, I believe that's how you pronounce it, makes a similar point. He says, you let Winnick, Santarelli, Smith walk. Good teams don't overpay for these guys. They always let them go. Ooh, it's going to be tough to see those guys go. They've been so important to this team. Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. Leafs, Hurricanes tonight. Raptors, big win last night against Brooklyn. And we'll come back in the final hour of the program. We're going to talk to Stefan Quintal, find out about how do you take diving lessons. James Neal getting fined 2 G's for diving. It was kind of like he did some weird dance, like he was like Lord of the Dance or something. It didn't even look like a dive. Kevin Barker will talk baseball, bunch of offseason moves, and we'll take your calls later on the hour if the Raptors are the favorites in the East. Are they the team to beat? Vendetta in for Blair will return in a moment on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.